The Colorado Springs Massacre is the liberals' wet dream, blaming guns, gender bias, and gay hate, but not the shooter themselves. You're listening to The Last Gay Conservative. I'm your host, Chad Law. Oh, yeah. Let's go random. Yeah, let's get fired up today, folks. Yeah. Let's go, Brandon. Come on. Hello, everybody. And let's go, Brandon. Welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. It's me, Chad Law, your host, your binary brother, the holiest homo and the ultimate beacon of truth. Broadcasting today from our gay conservative headquarters here in Newport Beach, California. And let me tell you, it's a wonderful day to be alive. Every day is a wonderful day to be alive. Life is good. But I know as conservatives, it's easy to get down with everything happening around us, but it's important that we find positivity, like this show. Let the Gay Conservative Podcast be your beam of light at the end of this dark tunnel. And of course, we tell everyone we can through our truth on the airwaves of our red, white, and blue rainbow. Today is our Black Friday edition, which aren't you all surprised that that hasn't been changed yet? Is Black Friday racist? Mark my words, that's going to be next. Right now, woke police have more pressing matters, like making sure no Indian pilgrim reenactments exist, you know, because it's cultural appropriation. Although historical accounts from several different sources confirm a meeting and feast occurred between early settlers and natives. Nonetheless, it's cultural appropriation. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have so much to be grateful for, and Thanksgiving is a beautiful reminder of that. I chose personally to stay home this year and hunker down and work. I'm sure you're all very surprised. But just because I didn't sit around a traditional Thanksgiving table this year doesn't mean I didn't have an opportunity to take an inventory of what I'm thankful for. See, every day in my prayers, I'm grateful for my basic health, my life, my opportunities, friends, family, etc. But there's another part of my life that's beginning to overflow into all those other things. It's you all, the listeners. Every time I think about what I'm grateful for, the first thing that bubbles up is you. All the amazing letters and holiday cards coming in, the emails and texts to the team, I see it all. You know, I've had the big title jobs and the big teams who more or less have to wish me a happy Thanksgiving or holidays. They have to sign my cards and maybe even feel obligated to do something in the office. It felt great at the time, but it's not until you step away from being the boss and start talking into a microphone that you realize that you guys are listening by choice. You're not obligated to listen or like me, unless you're my family. Kidding. You're not obligated to write us thank you notes and happy Thanksgiving cards. You do it voluntarily. And that, my friends, is the absolute best feeling I have ever felt in my life. You keep me going and you reinvigorate me. I try to reply personally to everyone quickly. Sometimes it takes me a little time. Please be patient. But I only do this show because of you. This was a fun friends and family, not sure what to do podcast after I sold my business. And because of you, it's become the thing that I live for. And you're the reason why this thing is thriving and spreading virally across the country and the world. So when anyone asks me what I'm most thankful for this year, in all honesty, it's you all. You give me the opportunity to do what I love and hopefully offer you some words of education and inspiration. Truly, happy Thanksgiving, folks. And I hope this year was a good one. For today's episode, I'm going to be focusing on the horrific shooting that happened at a gay nightclub in Colorado Springs. As anyone could have expected, the victims weren't even buried yet before the wild speculation came from the media. And sadly, the LGBT community colors have been exposed, and it's not pretty. There are theories floating around, which of course are all false. The first one, you could have guessed it, is guns. Always, we can't have a tragedy involving guns without that becoming the entire conversation. The next theory is this shooting was a result of the hate felt within the LGBTQ community and the blockage of things like gender and queer studies, gender inclusion, and drag queen story hours. The problem being that almost all of that is pure hypocrisy. Like everything, there's truth in it, but as I pointed out, with all violent incidents like this, there are some much deeper things at play that we cannot ignore. Now, I'm not going to get into this now, but the group Gays Against Groomers has come out to sort of flip the script on those shouting that this was a result of the rejection of trans people. And Gays Against Groomers is sort of making this all about them and the trans issues they're standing up for. And like I mentioned, the group just isn't very smart. This is not a well-organized group. And the problem is that this issue is not a trans issue, period. They're kind of off base. I'm happy they're standing up against trans issues with young children, but clearly from their responses here, they should stick to that. But the media is using them as a group, or the gold standard for LGBTQ people who don't agree with the left, and the glaring problem is they're not conservatives, they're just anti-grooming. You can't have a purely anti-trans grooming group representing the entire conservative movement within the gay community. It hardly paints the correct picture. Now, they do bring good to the table. I just wish we could get some stronger groups and faces out there because they appear to be very unkempt. I've been asked to do some interviews on TV quite a bit just this last week with the Colorado Springs issue that we're talking about. I got 3 interview requests, different local networks here in Los Angeles area, and I declined all of them because all they want to do is gotcha journalism where they're going to try and make me look bad and scream instead of a nice dialogue. So I declined. There's no point in giving them that ammunition. However, before we talk about the shooting in Colorado, I do have a nice story for you all. I recently came to the realization that if I'm ever running low on stories for you all, I just need to go out on a date. And that's exactly what I did the night before Thanksgiving. An ex-employee of mine, who's now a good friend, I should just say good friend, ex-employee. I don't like that at all. Anyways, my good friend, she's been trying to set me up with her friend for a long time. I've seen the pictures, the profiles, everything else seems nice enough. He is 29, so he's about 9 years older than my typical type, but hey, beggars can't be choosers at this point. You know how the holidays get you. You start thinking about a romantic, like hot toddy by the fire with the love of your life. It can trick you for a second. When I start feeling that way, what I do is I immediately go to my married friends' homes and watch them bicker and fight and want to kill each other while their kids break everything, cry, and throw tantrums. A couple hours of that really makes me feel good about the choices that I've made for my life. I get to go home, put on comfy clothes, drink champagne, watch the Golden Girls, and shop online. It's glorious. Not that if you want family and kids and all of that, you know, for the holidays or whatever your situation is, that's okay. No judgment. I'm just saying this is what works for me. Anyways, I digress. So as I mentioned, my friend was trying to set us up for a very long time. I've had his number in my phone for a few months, and she knows better than to share mine with him, or else I'm sure he would have reached out sooner. I do not want my number shared and be like, oh, you're acting like you're some celebrity. You want private phone numbers? No, before I even had a podcast or was on the radio or any media, I didn't want people giving out my phone numbers. I have very little time. And so for those people that I love, I want to spend my time on the phone, communicating, engaging with people in my small circle that I actually love and want to be around. Every additional sort of stranger or loose acquaintance that enters that mix through my text or my phone or voicemail or whatever it is, takes time away from me to be able to spend the little free time that I have conversing with those that I love. That's why I am like that. But last week she tells me, well, he's not going home for Thanksgiving, and she thought I wouldn't be doing anything, and she was correct. And so timing-wise, everything seemed to work out, so I finally agreed to go out with the guy. We decided to meet at a drink at one of my favorite spots in Newport, and if we hit it off, we'd keep the party going into dinner, etc. Now, I show up, and he had already ordered my drink, which was a sweet gesture, but a little bit annoying. I do have a signature cocktail that everybody knows is my drink. Who knows me? I'm sure she shared it. But come on, let me get in, settled in, and order my drink. I mean, I could tell he was so nervous, which is so weird because he's like 6'3", 6'4", in good shape, great smile, much more attractive than I am. Had no reason to be nervous. The conversation started nice and normal. I felt totally comfortable. So I let my guard down a bit and started talking to him about all sorts of stuff. Every once in a while, he'd bring up politics, and I had to ask him a few times if it was okay. We didn't talk about work. I just kind of needed a night off. But drinks turned into dinner, which was fantastic. There wasn't a huge spark, But one of my biggest things is conversation. If you can keep me engaged, that's a huge turn on for me because usually I'm busy just thinking about myself most of the time. We walked around Lido Island a bit, but it was freezing. There was massive gusts of wind. It was just unbearable. Wednesday before Thanksgiving, everything was closing earlier, so I said, screw it. Totally out of character for me, I invited him over for a brandy and more conversation. Now, folks, you know it's open book over here with me. I'm being 100% honest with you all. I had no intention of sleeping with him. Inviting him up was more of a convenience thing than a physical thing, and I explained that to him in full detail prior. But that didn't mean we couldn't, you know, kiss a little bit. But as that started, he had pretty bad breath, and I'm sure I did too. We just ate a glorious sushi dinner. So I said, I'm going to go freshen up and brush my teeth. If you need to freshen up, the guest bathroom has everything you need. There's a Sonicare, the extra heads, cleansing wipes, hair stuff, whatever you need. 5 minutes later, I'm done, back on the couch. Ron didn't love him, only sort of liked him. So that weirded me out a little bit. But Ron can be fickle sometimes, so I just kind of let it happen. 5 minutes turned into 10, turned into 15. I didn't want to bother him if he was using the restroom. So finally, I just politely asked if everything was good. I hate when people try to speak to me through the door or anyone who speaks to anyone through the door or a stall when making a duty. It's so rude and awkward, so I just waited. Finally, from the other side of the door, he said, I had an accident and my heart just sunk. I'm like, great, I actually kind of like this one, so whatever it is, just get it out there. He hemmed and hawed and I said, look, I've seen it all. There's no reason, there's nothing you could tell me that you should be upset or embarrassed about. Little does he know. So he finally opens up the door and he's kind of going on and talking strangely. And I'm looking at him to try to figure out what was off or different. And then he told me he had accidentally dropped and flushed his dentures down the toilet. What the hell am I supposed to say to that? Oh, I have an extra pair in the junk drawer. How did I not know before? I would have never known. The friend didn't know. Even when we kissed, everything seemed fine to me. But no. I was literally on a date with someone who would drop their teeth in a glass by the bed every night. Not exactly sure what happened with the teeth. A lot of times it has to do with drugs or maybe there was a nutritional issue as it passed. I didn't want to get into it, but you'd think someone young and attractive would get implants instead of dentures. Anyways, folks, as much as I've always wanted to have a hot night with a toothless man, I chose to pass on that. And now I have a story and trauma that I'll never forget. Meanwhile, I wonder how the dentures are treating my plumbing. All right. A couple of news stories I wanted to run through with you guys real quick before the meat of the episode. I'm sure you saw Disney had major executive switch up this week. They brought back Robert Iger as the CEO and end up canning the woke nightmare Bob Chapek. There were several red flags at the appointment of Chapek, including his nods to indoctrination and the undying support of the woke population. This comes with huge rounds of layoffs, massive spike in park costs, and a couple of recent box office bombs. Chapek not only drove the numbers into the ground, he drove away parents that are the key demographic that Disney survives on. This is another proud moment for me, because I said in my Disney episode, this political nonsense is going to lead to layoffs caused by these say-gay idiotic employees. Listen,
these employees are sending messages that they know better than the leadership and executives of those companies. Oftentimes, though, it forces the executives to make decisions that have irrevocable consequences to those employees, most of which happens to be laying people off. It's funny what happens when you don't think things through. You go protest, protest, protest. Don't realize that you're protesting is going to lead to layoffs. By Disney going after parents like this and attempting to brainwash kids, or at least claim that, people boycott. Boycotts impact the bottom line, stock prices, revenues dip, and people get laid off. Be careful what you wish for.
Not that you needed any more reassurance, but you heard it here first, folks. While everyone else focused on the current impacts of Don't Say Gay, I said this is going to end up being bad for these whining kids. What's more important, saying gay or saying bye-bye to thousands of your coworkers you got fired? And that was before any of this happened. And just like they say, go woke, go broke, and Disney is the epitome of that. All right. Not sure if you all saw that many conservatives in my circle, and some even further out of the circle, are having temper tantrums that Elon has chosen not to reinstate Alex Jones. I don't understand how many of my colleagues are still behind this guy. I mean, Elon straight up told him, I have no mercy for you. I've had a child die in my arms. Alex Jones is the victim of his own need for fame and shock factor. He ate the bait every media personality gets taunted with every day. His initial work was strong, not nearly as racy, but good. He went places no one ever did and brought up some very tough issues with some strong evidence to back up his theories. But in this business, you always have two choices. You can consistently deliver your information in a high-quality, high-touch way that can take years to garner attention and build a substantial audience. That's how I operate. The second choice is attempting to gain attention by getting more and more outlandish. His whole thing has been 100% driven by his need for fame and spotlight. However, as he became further and further out there, he did start gaining fans, not sure if they're the right fans, but he lost platforms. I bet many of you like him. I have a ton of friends that love him and show me all the conspiracies he's been right about. Personally, I think he's a freak and an embarrassment to our movement. You see people like Alex Jones, he's only part of one movement, the Alex Jones movement. He happened to land on this side and made it work for him, but had he had a liberal show, he would have done the exact same thing with different content. He's a phony and not anyone I want representing me or my fellow conservatives. If you take it just for pure entertainment and you are just watching to see when his live cardiac event will be, I don't blame you. Just don't take any of it as truth, please. Essentially, Alex Jones to conservatives is the Tiger King to the large cat community. According to American Wire News, Democratic Senator Mark Warner has come out and admitted Trump was right about TikTok. The senator is now calling for a total ban on TikTok and its parent company, ByteDance. Quote, "We know that engineers in China can access Americans' data when they use this platform." Kara Frederick, a former counterterrorism analyst for the DOD, was on Fox and said, "So there's no question it is a CCP or Chinese Communist Party spy app and Americans are using it. They should get off." Furthermore, the commissioner of the FCC, Brendan Carr, called on regulators to ban the app in the U.S., and the FBI director, Christopher Wray, warned that it contributes to China's status as the number one thief of U.S. data in the world. While security officials warn of the app's potential national security risk, the Biden administration and former President Obama used the app to reach potential voters. Biden met with a transgender TikTok creator in October, clouding the waters and muddying the message for the American people as the app's usage continued to grow. In 2020, 9% of those age 18 to 29 got their news from TikTok. Now it's up to 18% 2 years ago, and this year, 26%, only looking to grow. In fact, you see President Biden inviting bizarre TikTokers to the White House, and you see Obama sitting Indian style on the ground talking to a TikToker. Do they not realize what Senator Warren literally just said? Well, of course, they absolutely realize it. Again, there is no question that given the national intelligence law that China has, they have to. Private companies have to give information to the CCP. So we know that lawmakers know this, but they are so reflexively anti-Trump. And because Trump had an executive order that said TikTok should not be born, we should give it to a U.S. company to preserve and safekeep Americans' data. They're like, absolutely not. So we're going to court a younger generation, and that's exactly what's happening. So young people and all of their data and all of their patterns and all their psychographic information is now the property of the CCP, who can in turn use that data to either harmlessly create products and advertisements to sell or harmfully learn how to infiltrate and attack this younger population to make them more pro-communist. All right, folks, let's jump into this terrible tragedy that occurred in Colorado Springs. This has been an incredibly interesting news story because it truly is the collision of almost all the liberal agenda items, but of course with several holes in it. Now, one of the big consistent themes from liberals, which seems to be on overdrive these days, is blaming the circumstances or society instead of the actual criminal. I mean, even Reagan once said, we need to get to a place when a crime is committed, we focus on the criminal themselves, not what society may have done or not done. I'm paraphrasing here, but you get it. Before they even know the criminal's name, and in so many cases, they speculate to motive. This means big things for the mob. Honestly, how often do liberals get an incident where they can combine gun control, sexual orientation, gender, trans rights, and race? Okay, I added the race part, but I'm sure if I looked deeper, there's some liberal out there bringing race into the mix here. I mean, you could literally almost see the excitement on their faces as they're reporting this tragedy. It gave them the ability to speculate the killer's state of mind, motive, and gay-hating ways. The media told everyone that this is the result of a conservative push for hate towards the LGBTQ community. Not even 1 hour after the incident, they were reporting that the killer had a connection to an extreme mega Republican politician in California. It was astonishing to see how far they would take this absolutely, with no facts or findings. It's a very dangerous practice that seems to be getting worse and worse. I mean, you guys know the danger of this is what? This type of reporting takes focus off the crime and puts focus on all these other reasons, which then in turn empower future killers to use these things as excuses. What they are doing is justifying killing, period. And the media has gone totally rogue with this story. It's been truly garbage reporting, and not one outlet has just reported the facts. They all insert their own extras, if you will. I mean, just a few days ago, Time magazine had a huge piece entitled "Long Before Club Q, Colorado Springs Had a Dark Past with the LGBTQ Community." It is purely garbage journalism. Listen to this. This is what they wrote. After the attack on Club Q the day before Transgender Day of Remembrance, which commemorates the transgender lives lost due to violence, many in Colorado Springs' small queer community felt that dark history roaring back to life. As community organizers struggle to assess how to best help the community, Royer suggests the city work on creating greater support of the LGBTQ population in Colorado Springs, claiming that maybe designating an LGBTQ police liaison, a job that exists in some other cities, would be a good start. As Royer says, who's a community organizer for the LGBT community, says, "I think that the police force has done a good job in this instance, but doesn't mean that there's not more work to be done." You know, can never just say they did a good job. A recent poll from GLAAD, the LGBTQ propaganda media advocacy organization, found that 48% of LGBTQ respondents are, quote, "more fearful for their personal safety due to the current political environment." Among transgender people, this number rose 72%. The poll was conducted from November 16th through the 20th, though 89% of responses were submitted prior to the Colorado Springs shooting late Saturday night. GLAAD has also identified 124 separate incidents targeting drag events in 2022 thus far. Quote, "LGBTQ Americans are reporting feeling unsafe, and there is documented evidence as to why, even before the horror of this past weekend and the deadly attack on LGBTQ people in Colorado Springs," says GLAAD President Sarah Kate Ellis, who is an absolute loony tune. I have been so critical of her. She is hateful, spiteful, rude, totally unwilling to have an open conversation, and she just lies. She goes on to say, "We've seen the consequences. We've seen enough. It's abundantly clear that something has to change in our politics and media to reject harmful rhetoric that leads to real-life violence." Well, there you have it, folks. Society made this guy shoot up the nightclub. Strangely, these same wild assumptions did not spread after the shooting in Florida at Pulse Nightclub. It is absolutely disgusting that the CEO of GLAAD is standing on the five coffins of these victims to denounce politics and media, which, according to her, is the leading cause to real-life violence, instead of denouncing the killer. Further media reports have listed all sorts of facts in an effort to justify the shooting. It's absolutely ridiculous. Here are some of the consistent excuses coupled with why the conservative political beliefs are at the core of this shooting. Yahoo News reported 300 transgendered people have died in the last decade, 32 this year so far. How exactly? Well, that's not very clear. The reporters of these statistics come from Human Rights Campaign Foundation, another LGBTQ propaganda informational website, and there is no real clear definition of trans violence, what that even means. Then you have USA Today had an entire piece blaming conservatives for the death, which I'll go through in just a bit. And President Biden claimed LGBT communities are impacted higher than other groups by gun violence and how banning assault rifles would have solved everything. Well, let's break down all this nonsense, shall we? What I do best. The media's obsession with transgender people is so off base here, folks. First of all, the trans community is not some victimized group of violent epidemics against them. There's a data center that I just referred to for the LGBTQ community called the Human Rights Campaign Foundation. In November of 2022, they released a report that reads like an op-ed, but nonetheless, it's journalism. And they break down the epidemic of trans violence. But the problem is, the report contradicts the concept and they continually justify the mismatched numbers. So, like I mentioned, they claim in the last 10 years, 302 transgendered people have died at the hands of radical violence. However, they don't outline a definition of violence. Is it guns, knife attacks, strangulation, all of them? There's no clear definition. Secondly, with every fact they lay out, they include a little note that says most of these numbers are grossly underreported due to misgendering victims. Well, why do they have to say that? They have to say that because the numbers are so low. I mean, the FBI began tracking gender-related crime in 2013. Since 2013, according to the FBI, there have been around 300 deaths of trans people. Okay. Now, would you like to guess how many of those trans deaths were actually considered by the FBI as gender or trans hate-driven crimes? 11. It's about one per year. Does that sound like an epidemic to you? Just to give you a reference, in 2020 alone, 1 year, 2,800 blacks were killed by hate crime motivated killers. Okay, 1 year, 2,800 trans, 10 years, 11. Now, I'm not condoning the violence. Even one death by hate crime is a tragedy. However, how do we use these numbers to justify a killing spree? Especially when the massive death, the real numbers of death of trans people are suicides, drug overdoses, prostitution related, and of course, medical issues around their treatment. Is that not something that can be controlled on, focused on, especially because those deaths rank 10 to 1? It's the same argument as black crime. Blacks getting shot by cops is this big epidemic. But when you look at the numbers, it's actually a very small number. And the number one cause of black death is black on black crime or gang violence. Trans, same thing. 11 people in 10 years get killed by hate violence. And yet that's what we should be focusing on instead of the 10x of overdoses, suicides, and prostitution crime. Just crazy. The weirdest part about all of this is that not one of the victims were transgender in Colorado Springs. All five dead were he, she, or, you know, normal pronouns. However, the media is trying so hard to connect these dots. We have to ask the question, why? Why is it so crucial to connect a heinous crime with trans violence? In this instance, the two have zero connection. You can't use transgender specifics for a crime that, one, has no sign of transgender direct attacks or motivation. I'm not saying it won't, but until it is, you can't just speculate. The numbers just don't add up, folks. This stuff is just extra pro-trans pork stuffed into wannabe journalistic pieces. It's crazy. Let's move on to this wonderful example of credible and ethical reporting with this piece from the USA Today. According to the author, this has been a looming threat for decades as extremism against the gay community is growing at record numbers. Here's my question. What does against the gay community even mean? Is it an opinion? Do you show up at a protest? No, they don't define it because it's a big sweeping nonsense. They think that someone standing up against drag queen story time for kids in a public library adds to the number of hate. That's not hate. That's just democracy. So the piece starts out by saying drag shows across the country have for months been targeted by far-right extremists, including Proud Boys and white supremacists. Protesters and violence at LGBTQ events have surged for the last 2 years. Well, okay. First of all, there have only been three recorded incidents involving the Proud Boys, who are denounced from all sides. Protesting is not a sign of hate or violence. It's the right of the American people, whether you disagree or not. It's not hate. Now, essentially, this statement is drawing a line between protesting and hate crime. So what about Black Lives Matter or defund the police? Furthermore, stating merely violence at gay protesters has increased is totally irresponsible. For one thing, we don't know any of the circumstances. Who started it? What is the violence? Is it someone dumping a bottle of water on someone's head or is someone getting shot? Then the author says, at those street protests, extremists have been joined by everyday American conservatives, fueled, experts say, by right-wing media. The target of their outrage, previously obscure events ranging from drag shows to children's book readings, one industry analysis concludes, Conservative media has become obsessed with drag shows in particular. Oh, that one industry analysis. I always love that one. There's a very simple answer to this, and it's something I talk about all the time. The media wants to drag the normal, family-first, loving, tax-paying gays into the psychotic extremists who want drag queens to read to kids. Sorry, I am gay. I'm not anti-gay. I'm not a self-hating gay. That's what they love to call me. But I am against children being put in adult situations that are unnecessary. Then they go on to blame the politicians. This is when it really gets good. Meanwhile, Republican politicians like Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis have put opposition to transgender rights at the center of their political agendas, moving to have state agents investigate parents who seek care for transgender children or ban doctors from providing that care. And lawmakers in several states have prepared bills to essentially outlaw drag shows and further marginalize the LGBTQ community. Now, this is where Gays Against Groomers has made a big impact, and I have to applaud this effort. Anti-child mutilation is not anti-gay, and I heard the founder claim that on television, which is so true. Not one of these laws is made to criminalize transgender people. These laws are to protect kids from getting into something they cannot conceptualize until much later in life. Laws that allow parents to seek counseling for their kids prior to them transitioning. Laws that can stop places like Planned Parenthood from providing hormones and gender-affirming care without parental consent. This isn't hate. It's America. And millions, actually the majority, support these measures. Legal measures banning drag shows. Again, another lie. All drag show legislation being presented right now is either focused on using public tax dollars for these controversial events, because public tax dollars should not be used to support controversial events, and or keeping them away from kids. You want a drag show? Go to where they belong. Gay bars, not kindergartens. Now it's Trump's fault, if you can imagine. They say when former President Donald Trump rallied against immigrant communities, hate crimes against non-white people spiked and men shot up a Walmart in El Paso, Texas, and a synagogue thought to be helping immigrants in Pittsburgh, killing dozens. When the far-right political machine fueled by Trump blamed China for the coronavirus pandemic, hate crimes against Asian Americans soared. I just can't. Everyone's to blame but the people who actually committed the crime. Now, I had to put this out there because it doesn't exactly correlate, but you can see how this journalist is blaming politicians and not criminals. They're making excuses for murder. Trump responsible for Walmart shooting because of immigrants. Do we know this for sure? No, but they're asserting it. Asian American hate crimes due to anti-China rhetoric. I hope they're not talking about the guy who shot up massage parlors in Atlanta to try to kill his own addiction to the massages. He loved Asians. Clearly, he was getting jerked off by them all the time. I mean, don't you think if someone hated a population, they wouldn't essentially have sex with them? I know neo-Nazis wouldn't get jerked off by Jews. So this whole thing wasn't even a race issue. He absolutely hated himself for what he was addicted to. So he tried to shoot them up to save him from himself, I guess. I mean, this entire argument is ludicrous. And again, excusing the crime, blaming outside circumstances. This is how he wraps up the article. And now, after more than 18 months of escalating rhetoric against the LGBT community from politicians, pundits, and extremists, 5 people have been killed and 17 wounded in Colorado Springs on the weekend of Transgender Remembrance, on a night where the bar was hosting drag shows. Huh? Did you hear that? After all this, we have a mass shooting at a gay bar? What the hell are you even saying? This is blatant bullshit. I mean, if this were the case, how come this during the 70s, during Anita Bryant's reign and protests of gay teachers, why weren't gay bars all shot up then? If you're trying to make the argument that mass shootings correlate with societal hatred against certain marginalized groups, you would see mass murder completely throughout history. It doesn't exist. It's a big fat lie. You love how then it becomes all of those things at fault without even a mention of the killer. All of those things built up to a force that he couldn't resist killing. He's a victim, not a criminal. He's the victim of society. It's sick, but it gets better, folks. So, but my question is how does an average American person open up their laptop, their iPad in the morning and read this garbage and subscribe to the idea that we're at fault, not the criminal? In one quote, it actually said, when you make this about protecting children, you create hate from the entire nation. I'm sorry, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. Any parent that thinks it's okay to bring their child under the age of 12 to see a man dressed up as a sexualized woman is sick. Not to mention, no one has ever been able to demonstrate or explain or show any rates of increased open-mindedness or inclusivity as people experience these events. Again, there is no link within hundreds of studies between drag queen story hours and a child's increased acceptance, understanding, or inclusiveness. It's false. It doesn't exist. Why? Because that's not what it's all about. As if we couldn't get any more embarrassed, sadly, President Biden took the bait again and has reassured us all that he's a dumbass. He says gun violence continues to have a devastating and particular impact on LGBTQ communities across our nation, and threats of violence are increasing. We must drive out the inequities that contribute to violence against LGBTQ plus people. We cannot and must not tolerate hate. Well, I guess he hasn't checked his own DOJ statistics, as the LGBTQ community is at the very bottom of the groups impacted by gun violence. I mean, if you look at the last year available, 2020, which also correlates with most of these George Soros-sponsored DAs, Biden was also spouting off about redefining justice and community policing. Defund the police was massive. Crime surged. And of course, when crime surges, so does gun-related crime. But according to Pew Research, despite the increase in such fatalities, the rate of gun deaths, a statistic that accounts for the nation's growing population, remains below the levels of earlier years. This study goes on to highlight in 2020, 54% of all gun-related deaths in the U.S. were suicide, 43% were murders. While 2020 saw the highest number of gun deaths in the U.S., this statistic does not take into account the nation's growing population. On a per capita basis, there were 13.6 gun deaths per 100,000 people in 2020, the highest rate since the mid-90s, but still well below the peak of gun deaths at 16.3 gun deaths per 1,000 people in 1974. The U.S. gun death rate was 10.6 per 100,000 people in 2016, which is the most recent year in a study across gun violence amongst different countries. We were way above countries like Canada and Australia, as well as European nations such as France, Germany, and Spain. But the rate in the U.S. was much lower than in El Salvador, Venezuela, Guatemala, Colombia, and Honduras. Overall, the U.S. ranked 20th in its gun fatality rate that year. 20th. So keep in mind that those countries, El Salvador, Venezuela, Guatemala, Colombia, and Honduras, all have anti-gun laws, completely anti-gun laws. The president also made sure to tell Congress to ban high-powered firearms like those used in the attack. Again, Pew reports completely disagree, which, folks, you know Pew is the gold standard, and it's still on the left side. This is just pure data. In 2020, handguns were involved in 59% of the 13,620 U.S. gun murders and non-negligent manslaughters for which data is available, according to the FBI. Rifles, the category that includes guns sometimes referred to as assault weapons, were involved in 3% of the murders. Shotguns were involved in 1%. The remainder of gun homicides and non-negligent manslaughters involved are other kinds of firearms or those classified as type not stated. Yeah, because ARs are the problem here, right, folks? Then the idiot goes on to say during his transgender day of remembrance comments that we need to combat the disturbing wave of discriminatory state laws targeting young transgender Americans. Legislation that hurts young people who aren't hurting anyone, he says. This stuff really upsets me because it has nothing to do with young people. It has to do with adults who think it's okay to just throw children into a gender reaffirming program without any additional protections. A president making these statements like we're out here picking on the young people, we're trying to protect them. What no one ever sees is the thousands on thousands regretting their decision and admitting it was too hasty to transition. Don't you just love it when these woke ideologues use death and violence to bolster their political beliefs? Criminal justice should be nonpartisan, period. I mean, so what do we actually know about this guy anyways? Well, if you remember my episode on mass shooters, there are three things to look at: symptoms, prevention measures, and the cause. The kid was from a disturbing family. And I listened to an interview from his dad on the radio in San Diego. First of all, he's a porn star who's also supposedly Mormon and very homophobic. The interview showcased him more concerned about his son's sexuality than the family's affected. Listening to his father alone made me go, oh, God, this kid didn't stand a chance. The kid was brought into hate, not this new Trump-style hate everyone loves to blame and concoct. He was just born into hating others, not because of society, but because of his father. On his mother's side, he was arrested by El Paso County Sheriff's deputies last year after the mom said that he was threatening her with a homemade bomb, multiple weapons, and ammunition. Okay, so the kid threatens mom with a bomb and then is able to buy a weapon because the DA didn't pursue any charges, not even a temporary restraining order for the mother, nothing. That is a huge miss from the El Paso County Sheriff and DA's office. In almost every one of these cases, major flagged missteps happened with law enforcement. He even bragged a few times he wanted to be the next mass shooter, yet those he told never came forward. I'm not blaming either party, but again, this has nothing to do with this new gay hate that has pushed people to violence. The guy was disturbed. Even with the bomb threat, they could have at least 5150'd him to watch and listen. At that point, they could have claimed that he was a threat to society. And this isn't the cops' fault either. They don't want to push the limits at all because they're afraid of a national incident. They're more afraid of losing everything than they are of dangerous people on the streets. You want to blame someone? Why don't you blame the people of BLM and defund the police who have had all these budgets slashed and cops afraid of becoming victims to their hate and abuse of the media? So they do the bare minimum now and stick to protocol. When in actuality, if cops were empowered to use their instincts, I'm sure more would have come from this encounter with the killer. The media goes on to tell everyone that he's the grandson of a Republican state legislator from California who was pro-Capitol riot. Ridiculous. It says, a man with the same name and age as the suspect, 22-year-old killer, is listed as having lived at the same address as 40-year-old Laura Vopel, who was identified by the New York Times as his mother. Vopel, in turn, is listed as the relative of Assemblyman Randy Vopel, who is 72, who said the Capitol riot is the first shots against tyranny. I mean, the left can't help but blame guns. I mean, Lori stuck my finger in a socket. Lightfoot got onto Twitter to say she's sick of this shit, of course, with about a million calls for gun control. It's funny how the leaders of the most crime-infested places want gun control. No means to defend yourself within the war zones of gang violence and murder that you've created. I mean, the very odd part about the gun issue with this particular incident is that no one really knows when and how his guns were purchased. Local police have confirmed he bought the weapons used, but no idea when, where, or how. This entire thing is starting to blow back on this woke mob, but God knows they're still trying. Here you have an emotionally disturbed criminal. Whether they shoot up a black bar, gay bar, trans bar, or straight bar isn't relevant. Now, I'm going to speculate, but I would argue that his motive was not to eliminate gays off the planet. Someone at that low IQ and clearly dysfunctional brain can't comprehend some diabolical plan like the Joker in Batman. I mean, this is no criminal genius here. And factually, the gay community is one with the least amount of mass shootings. This incident is not a reflection of politics. It's a reflection of criminals who want to do bad things. Furthermore, they want you to think drag queen story time have been under attack, but we know those attacks are simply protesters. Maybe the couple incidents with the Proud Boys that were denounced and shut down, but not a massive string of violence at drag queen story hours. This phony attempt to paint this picture, folks, like the LGBTQ community is this beaten down, hated on, victimized group, is just disgusting. Using this attack as a way to condemn people who are using the democratic system to fight for what they believe in is also a disgrace. It's easier to blame than it is to look at the actuality. I can't say this enough. When the left blames guns, politicians, political beliefs, and convictions, they excuse the crime. No one can figure out where the kid got the gun, period. But you won't see that in a lot of reports because they want you to think that he walked into a Walmart the same day, bought himself an AK-47 and ran into the club to kill people. Not a chance. But people think that because that's what they read. The gun gray area has really got them freaking out. Sadly, it also has other effects. Their bias on gun control has left the horrific slaying of four people in Idaho essentially uncovered. Sure doesn't help their case, a mass killing with a knife, not an AR-15. Well, let's file that in the inconvenient story file. So these poor families of the four students who were brutally stabbed have not received the coverage that may be needed to find the killer. Now, you don't have to be a crew crime buff like me to know. Stabbing four people violently, that's serial killer behavior. That amount of anger and stabbing gives the killer a sexual release. Shouldn't this be the focus here? Not that one supersedes the other, that's my point. This story shouldn't get pushed to the back of the pile because it doesn't align with the media. Furthermore, they don't even have a suspect in custody, whereas the shooter in Colorado Springs is in custody. Shouldn't you focus on getting the word out there so someone gets caught versus obsessing over something that's been done so you can blame and push a political agenda? It's sad. Folks, if you can, donate and send what you can to the victims' families in Idaho. It's a terrible thing. They're going to have a hard time catching this guy, even with the tons of evidence found at the scene. If this guy fits the profile, and I think he does, he will probably strike again somewhere else. As long as he's not doing it to gays, though, it's okay. Straight, white college kids have it easy. Who cares if they're stabbed to death? Makes me sick. So now the best part of this entire Colorado Springs case is the shooter, or alleged shooter, has come out as non-binary. For all intents and purposes, his attorneys have requested all court filings and documents moving forward use the they-them pronouns. Well, here's the problem. That's not exactly in line with the white supremacist gay-hating shooter. In fact, papers filed by the public defender claim he's non-binary, not just for using the pronouns, but all over the responses. So now the liberals are really melting down. And I can't tell you how many gays I've seen on TV and read saying, he's not non-binary. I can tell he's a man. He's just using it as a way to avoid hate crime charges. And I just sit and laugh because what are they doing? They're misgendering the guy. According to the trans agenda, anyone can be any gender at any time. There is no limit. In fact, remember, doctors choose your gender, not DNA. So you can change the doctor's assignment at any time. The greatest part of this is it's highlighting two things. If the guy was smart enough or his lawyers were smart enough to make this claim in order to avoid hate charges, and just so you know, on a side note, in Colorado, in order for hate crimes to stick, you have to prove that there was intent to hurt a specific group. But how could his intention be to wipe out a population which he belongs to or they belong to? I'm not saying it makes his case. I'm saying it knocked the wind out of the liberal sails because it was totally unexpected. There is no positive way this can go for them. He is, in fact, non-binary and his actions were not driven by the hate of the LGBT community, or he's using non-binary status to take advantage of our biased system where trans people get easier sentences. The LGBTQ community has created this by constantly demanding special treatment. So, of course, people are going to use anything they can, including a new gender or orientation, to be on the receiving end of this special treatment. Look at Hannah Tubbs. I've talked about her tons. Rapist of children gets 2 years in jail because she's trans, and they all cheered for that. What now? According to the LA Times, his parents have criminal records. The mom was found guilty of a reduced charge of criminal mischief in San Antonio. And dad was arrested on drug-related charges and other crimes. He was supposedly an MMA fighter and appeared on the TV series Intervention. Court records in Bexar County, Texas showed that the killer changed his name 6 years ago to avoid association with his criminal porn star father. Now, as you know, I don't like to chalk up past issues as excuse for crime. And that isn't my point here. However, we do have to look at what this kid has been subjected to. Violent, drug-using, porn star father, clearly a narcissist who wants to be famous, hence jumping on the radio right after it happened. Then the Washington Post came out, reported that the killer had been severely bullied. Actually, the quote was, particularly vicious bout of online bullying. apparently someone created a website about him, an entire site that was solely made to ridicule and harass this kid. Bullied at home, bullied at school, bullied online. Little to no parental guidance. It's sad for anyone. Someone also made a YouTube account under his name that had videos that referred to him as Asian, showing graphic images of the cartoon being raped. Well, now it's my turn to speculate. I've laid the facts out, the numbers out. Let me tell you what I think. I know you've been just waiting with bated breath here. I have a feeling that this kid is gay. I think his dad tried to beat it out of him and his mom buried her head in the sand. Again, this is 100% my opinion based on what I've seen, heard, witness accounts. You know, Alyssa pulled all kinds of stories for me and different things that people aren't looking at. So this is just based on what we've been able to put together here at the Last Gay Conservative headquarters. But I've seen this time and time again. Like I said, the kid didn't stand a chance. He was raised in an environment that had he admitted he was gay, he would have been excommunicated. This is very common in Mormon families. So he shuts down, locks himself in the house and plays video games and overeats and engages in self-destructive behavior. Like every male, however, we have a desire for a physical connection. Men are sexual beings. They need to have sex or want to have sex. And I have to guess that he probably went on Grindr or other dating apps or sites. He probably had a black profile pic or some weird meme. And more than likely, he was looking to belong or just chat with people like him, not looking for direct sex, maybe. But either way, I think he dipped his toe into the pond or explored. But here's what no one talks about. The gay community is mean. It is a mean, mean, mean community. It is not inclusive. It's mean. It's shallow. It's cliquey. Has no room or patience for anyone who don't fit into one of their little molds. And I know for sure because I was in West Hollywood and politically involved and they hated me. But they hated me before they even knew my politics. It was never about my politics. It was about how I fit in and what I looked like. I wasn't bothered, but every day I hear from other gays who have said, they're trying to fit in, but when they go into bars or when they talk to people, people are not welcoming. It's so true. And the older I get, the more I see it. I go into bars and let me tell you, at the straightest young dive bars, frat boy type dive bars, I am welcomed and treated with respect 1,000 times more than if I go into a gay bar. Even wearing an entire YSL leopard kimono, straight guys have been so nice, while gay guys are nasty. The idea of inclusivity and love wins and we're all equal is a pile of steaming garbage. Go to West Hollywood tonight. I can tell you, you will not see that. You'll see stuck up, rude, too good wannabes who focus on looks and have very little brains. It's a cesspool of orgies, drugs, radical politics, and pornography. And I am a gay man, and this has been my experience along with thousands of others. Now, I've met wonderful people, and I have dozens of gay friends now, but as a young person figuring things out, it's not easy. It's not this community of welcoming, non-judgmental people. It's a lie, period. And anyone who tells you otherwise is a liar. So part of my theory, if this kid who was bullied and treated horrible online and at home is gay, I would speculate, based on the way he looks and some of the testimony from neighbors, he was more than likely treated like shit from the gay community itself. I can picture it because it happened to me. You get excited and you online date. And then all the messages that you get are hateful messages about your weight, your hair, your teeth, whatever it is. I mean, lucky for me, I come from a solid home with a father who taught me to F everyone else and be unapologetically myself. And I have brains. But a lot of people don't have those things. They were not as fortunate as I am. And if it's the case, we'll probably never know. But my fear is that kid who was already bullied and beaten down at home ventured into gay culture to explore his own sexuality and the bullying continued. The LGBTQ community is a closed community of bullies. It's not a marketplace of ideas. It's a mold that you fit in or not. Look at the president of GLAAD or any trans rights groups. It's all about them and never about the dialogue. On the flip side of that, I go into my church. The first day people were welcoming and helping me, the pastor asked about what I do and then wanted me to do a speaking engagement or a open discussion. It's almost impossible to come out alive if you are or truly want to be a member of the LGBTQ community. And this would not be the first time revenge killings have occurred based on bullying. Columbine is a perfect example. But of course, the media refuses to cover it. It's a big cover-up because if America knew how truly disgusting the Castros, the West Hollywoods, and the Chelseas of the world really included people and loved one another, no one would support another gay cause again. They create more hate internally and bully more people than the outside world could ever do. And it's sad, but it's a huge reason why I do this show, because the world needs to know what the gay community is all about. It's sick. So if you're going to stand there and you're going to blame conservative views and gay hate for mass shooting, then you better get yourself a mirror, because there is so much hate within the gay community internally, you can't compare it to anything else. And all I can say is, if you want to know, go be a part of it. Allow me to leave you with this. I think it bears repeating that Reagan called this in the 80s. He saw the writing on the wall that society was getting more blame than criminals themselves. This has only gotten greater and greater in time, which I think is another reason for the increase in these mass shootings. We've created a spectacle, a celebrity vibe, a misplaced blame when it comes to these horrific crimes, instead of either shutting it down, putting a killer in a box, never releasing his name, and keeping the courtroom closed. They put it on all the newspapers. And for most of these killers, that's a big win. The new wave of Soros DAs have also allowed for this to happen by refusing to enforce hate crime statutes and sentencing, allowing violent criminals who will sure break the law again to commit additional crimes. Just look at the poor girl who was stabbed to death at work in Los Angeles, a violent offender with a warrant for assaulting a police officer, yet no one followed through. DAs didn't care. These statistics or non-statistic comments all over the media are pushing an agenda and no reform. Gun violence data doesn't correlate with these crimes, so it's all speculation without stating it's speculation like I do. At least I tell you when I'm speculating. The real issue is this. Like always, we're looking at symptoms and prevention and not the actual cause. This kid is another example of our failed all-gender education, where he was never taught how to positively channel his male instincts, and it boiled over because he had no one at home. You've heard me say it. They're decimating competitive sports. Playground time is all about the peace stick and not running the track. There's no physical activity, and most importantly, no coping skills. In fact, educators have prioritized learning more about gender nonsense, which has taken precedent over showing boys and girls how to channel and manage their primal instincts. It's not guns, it's not hatred, and it's clearly not politicians. It's simply the basis of a system that fails us every day. Rapists coming out of the education system, where instead of learning how to positively deal with their sexual urges, they are made to feel guilty and repress those desires that manifest into crime. Same with fighting, same with bullying. The mass shooting phenomenon is the result of melding of gender education and discipline. Men instinctually need to hunt, protect, and procreate. Women instinctually need to keep the balance. They communicate, they want to be part of a team, and they want to feel heard and caring. However, our schools say both should learn the same coping skills as the other. I'm not going to go into detail about this because you can listen to my mass shootings episode. The only 100% data that correlates with crime is punishment. This is the prevention piece everyone is missing. Remember in the 1990s under Clinton, gang violence was insane. People were being murdered left and right. So they rolled out sweeping criminal justice reform, making the punishment extreme. And it took a few incidents of arresting and punishing people to the maximum. But once people saw those examples made, crime dropped fast. The only time we see crime drop is when laws and sentences get stronger. Crime rises as they get softer, and that's where we're at right now. Although there are a stack of things I talk about in the mass shooting episodes on how to stop this short and long term, there is one thing we need to look at, which is hyper-focused on mass shooting federal criminal reform. You guys might know of the Racketeer Influenced and Court Organization Act, also known as RICO. The federal statute basically targeting organized crime was enacted in 1970 and has been extremely successful prosecuting thousands of individuals and organizations and heads of massive criminal organizations. Part of the Organized Crime Control Act of 1970, the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, makes it unlawful to acquire, operate, or receive income from an enterprise through a pattern of racketeering activity. Although it took some time for federal prosecutors to really understand and incorporate RICO into their array of prosecutorial tools, the statute has been very, very, very successful. By 1990, more than 1,000 major crime figures have been convicted and given lengthy prison sentences under RICO, crime figures that would have never been able to be tried and punished without RICO. It's proved to be super valuable in the pursuit of organized crime networks because they have been able to use RICO to get heads of crime families that may not be down in the dirt shooting people, but they're running the show, which they can use RICO to get to them. So where is RICO for mass shooters? Why has no one proposed this? This has nothing to do with gun control or gender. It refers to the type of crime. Further, RICO divested millions of dollars to police departments and the FBI for investigative resources. One of the few examples where federal crime reform worked, and it's still working to this day. Mob activity is at an all-time low, and local law enforcement has what they need to catch these people. So what should the mass shooting version of RICO look like? Well, I think it's pretty serious. Just put some serious laws on the books. Any shooting or any killing incident with four or more deaths is automatically a hate crime, regardless. Killers' names are released as John Smith or Jane Smith. Automatic death penalty with no appeal within 5 years of the crime. I always say catch them, try them, fry them. And serious multi-agency investigations into the families prosecuting abuse, sexual abuse, or bullying towards the child that may have contributed to his mental state when committing the crime. But that would be too simple. See, the ACLU, who hates conservatives and say that we're responsible for the violence because we peddle hate to cause these things, will turn around and say these strict crime laws are racist or unjust or target certain groups and blah, 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 and they won't let it happen. There is no winning. And the media doesn't want anything to change because then they'll have nothing to report. And most importantly, no one to blame. We have to create criminal reform on the federal level that is focused, hyper-focused on mass shootings. If you don't release the name ever, that will take anyone who's motivated by the fame of it off the table. If you hit the families hard, they will start reporting more red flag behavior and probably take their job as parents more seriously. And if you do an automatic death penalty within 5 years of the crime with no appeal, that's a whole nother group of people that are going to be too afraid to go. If we instituted that tomorrow, mass shootings would go down 90%. Why is that so hard to do? Everyone in America would want that to happen. But instead, it's easier to blame everyone else. I'm Chad Law, reminding you of what Reagan once said. Our nation was built and civilized by men and women who used guns in self-defense and in pursuit of peace. One wonders indeed, if the rising crime rate isn't due as much as anything to the criminal's instinctive knowledge that the average victim no longer has means of self-protection. Sure makes you wonder, doesn't it? Seems to absolutely be the case today. God bless you, President Reagan, and seriously, may God save America.
You just listened to The Last Gay Conservative Podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. We proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.